part of it.
Okay, last night at around 11 o'clock at night, Rabbi Benovitz asked me to speak this morning on the topic of being a Baal Tefillah, practical considerations in being a Chazan, being a Baal Tefillah. So there are some very important rules that one needs to know when he's going to be a Chazan. I guess what I really should first start off saying is that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody asks you to be a Chazan, so you're not supposed to run forward to really want to be a Chazan right away, but you're also not supposed to push the galley off and say, no, 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 no. I mean, you're supposed to do something in the middle. I think the halacha says that the first time he asks you, you should like sort of say, oh, maybe not. By the second time, you should, you know, be more agreeable. And the third time, you should say, yes. So there's two things involved there. Number one, you're not supposed to run to get it. And the reason you're not supposed to run to get it is because, you know, you're not supposed to think, wow, I'm the guy who's this whole Tzibur is going to look forward to try to get me to represent you. But you're also not supposed to give the Gabbai a hard time, because if everyone's going to say no, 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 he's going to run through the whole Tzibur and no one's going to be able to do it. That's not a good thing either. We need someone to be the Shliach Tzibur. I think that this tension, I think, summarizes a lot of what goes into being a Chazan. What is the most important criteria for a Chazan, the most important quality that a Chazan has? Does anybody know what the most important thing about being a Chazan is? You say, Dave?
Being able to inspire with your community.
Wow. Very much related to that, but even the step before that. Step before that. What is it? How fast it goes. All right, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. That's definitely important.
Pronunciation.
Pronunciation, clarity, all this is very good. Good stuff, good stuff.
Good voice.
Good voice, we'll talk, excellent. We'll talk about all of this. But humility, that's very, very important. All of it's great. Everything is great. But let me tell you what the most important thing is. The most important thing about a Chazan is, and it takes all the things that you said into account, the most important thing is that he be what's called Merutze Lakahal. Anybody know what those words mean? Merutza lakahal, merutza lakahal, yeah?
Acceptable or appropriate.
Right. He has to be that the Tzibur wants that guy up there. The Tzibur wants it. Now, gentlemen, let me ask you, since you'll be in the Tzibur, so what qualities do you think, if you had a guy who was davening for you, a guy who was representing you to the Ribbono Shel Olam, a guy who was your chazan, I want to know from this community, what characteristics or what details of how a person is a chazan? What kind of chazan do you want to have representing you? If I was asking you, you need a chazan representing you, what kind of chazan would you want? Yes. Okay, so the first thing is, why would you want a Talmud Chacham representing you? Why would you want a Talmud Chacham? Oh, very good. Excellent. So one of the most important qualities of a Baal Tefillah, and again, before we get into all this, I want to make one point clear from the beginning. If you're above Bar Mitzvah, you're kosher as a Chazan. Anybody. If you have a bris, and you're Jewish, and your mother's Jewish, and you're above Bar Mitzvah, or if your mother isn't Jewish, you converted. But if you're a Jew and you're above Bar Mitzvah, you're kosher to be a Chazan. What we're going to be discussing is what's the best possible. But anybody in your shul who's bar mitzvah, who davens for the Amid, your yotze, when he says kaddish and you answer. So let's get that clear. But we're just doing the best. So an excellent point was made over here. I just forgot your name, I apologize. Ephraim? Right, Ephraim. So Ephraim says that he thinks that to have someone who is a righteous person, he said a Talmud Chacham, but the way the halacha they say, Yirei Shamayim. A Yirei Shamayim means a person who's extremely spiritually connected to Hashem, someone who has Yirah Shamayim, who's a holy, more spiritual. The best thing is, now, especially before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a lot of the halachas of getting a chazan. So the truth is that one of the most important things to look for in a chazan, and that's what Ephraim is saying, what I would look for, Ephraim is saying, I want a guy representing me before Hashem.
I want Hashem to accept my tefillos. And hopefully if the shliach, that's why he's called a shliach tzibor. What's a chazan called? Shliach tzibor. He's supposed to be a representative of the community, which means whatever the community wants, that's what he should have. So Ephraim says he should be a guy who's a Yerei Shemai Metzadik Atama Chacham. Excellent. That's in halacha. What else would you like to see in your chazan? What else would you like to see? Eliezer Yehuda. Oh. So if someone has a good voice, if someone has a good voice that's pleasant to listen to, so people enjoy listening to that, they enjoy being inspired by that, because that will help you daven better. If you're in a place and you're listening to someone daven, and that person has a nice voice, it's going to be nice for you. Now here it gets a little bit tricky. It gets a little bit tricky because one of the biggest challenges of being a chazan is not just showing off and making a show so that everybody enjoys listening to you perform, like somebody who is singing at the opera or singing at a concert or something. He's making a performance. There are many chazanim who mess this up royally, and they think that their job is just to put on a performance so that everybody says, wow, that was such a great davening, that was such a great performance. That chazan is a great performance. There's a very fine line between a chazan davening, and I agree with you, Yehuda. You need a chazan who has a nice voice. I don't think you need like Luciano Pavarotti. I don't think you need guys who have, you know, really phenomenal voices. But you do need someone who does know how to carry a tune, because if the guy gets up there and he starts singing and he's way off tune and way off key, everyone's going to like try to put their fingers in their ears, not want to listen to it. That's not going to be a very inspiring davening at all. It's not going to get you to daven better. So you need the nice voice. And here's the key, and a chazan should be thinking all the times, what can I do to help inspire the people to daven better? That's the whole goal of the chazan. How to inspire the people to daven better. Now, if you have a lot of kavana, that's what you were saying before, Frank, if the chazan has a lot of kavana, if he's really serious about the daven and taking it seriously, that can very often inspire the tzibur. When you see somebody davening in front of you who has a lot of kavana, that's going to inspire you to daven with kavana. When you hear someone who has a sweet voice, that might inspire you. What else are you going to be looking for? What else are you going to be looking for in your chazan? Yes. Question, sure. Sorry? The question was, if a chazan has a desire to show off, should he go be a chazan or not? You're saying he has a very good voice, people might be inspired, but he has a desire to show off. So I think such a chazan should not be a chazan at all. Now, everybody has a natural desire a little bit to do some of this, but the point is, when you get up there, you have to really actively quash that little voice inside you that's telling you, wow, you're such a great chazan, everybody's listening to you, everybody's singing with you, they think you're great, they think you're awesome. If those feelings start getting inside you, you have to like beat them down. You can't think that way. Anyone who's davening for that reason, what do you think the Rabbanu Shlom is thinking of him? He ain't going to listen to that tefillah too much if the guy's thinking all about himself. All he's thinking about is how I'm making a great, I'm singing so beautifully, everybody's listening to me. I don't think the Rabbanu Shlom is going to listen to his tefillah so well, and he's not going to be a good shliach tzibur. And this is one of the big tensions that exists with the big chazanim, with the people of the big chazanim. They've got to be thinking all the time about humility, about, right? Right? Gentlemen, just for me to prove this point, because this is such an important point that you made, and Yitzchak said it before about humility. To have a chazan who's humble is very important. Gentlemen, who do you think is like the most respected of all the chazanim throughout the year? Which tefillah throughout the year do you think is like the most chashuv to be a chazan? For which prayer? What would you say, Shlomo? Ne'ilah, excellent, okay. Ne'ilah, good. You're getting, and which other one around the same time? What do you say, Elimelech? Kol Nidre, beautiful. And what's the other one on Yom Kippur? Musaf on Yom Kippur, excellent. Now, right, Musaf on Yom Kippur. Now, gentlemen, what are the first words?
Eitan. Did I get it right? Okay. Eitan Menachem. Eitan Yitzchak. Eitan Yitzchak. Okay. Eitan. What are the first words that the Chazan of Musaf on Yom Kippur says? What are the first words? Here he is, Musaf Yom Kippur. This is the holiest time of the year. He's going to say the Avodah. What are the first words that the Chazan utters? What are the first words? What's your name?
Shimon Ben Arush. Good. Shimon. It's been a few days. Yeah. Hineni Ha'ani Nimas. What do those words mean, Shimon? Hineni Ha'ani Nimas. I stand before you, Ani Nimas. What do those words mean? I am Hineni Ha'ani Nimas means, God, I'm standing before you, and my actions are so poor. My actions are so poor. Ani means poor. Ma'as, ma'asim. My actions are so poor. I am so poor, my actions. In other words, what the rabbis who set up the davening, what they were basically trying to tell this chazan, like, oh, you think you're such a big knacker that your shul hired you to be the chazan to send the tefillos. Musaf Yom Kippur, when we're asking Hashem for slichu mechila, when is there a more important time for a guy to be a chazan? What are we telling that guy that he's got to say right at the beginning? Buddy, you want to be a good chazan? Remember humility. Humility is the most important. You don't think you get up there. Just like I said before, if you're going to be a guy who can get up there and say how great I am, oh, look at me, everybody's listening to me, then I don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to you so much. By the way, when it comes to being a Baal Tefillah for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so there's other halachos also. Really, let's say you have two people who have, let's say their voices are exactly the same in terms of their inspiring voices, but one of them is married and one of them is not married, or one of them is married and has children, and one of them does not marry and does not have children. Does anybody know which of the chazanim you're supposed to choose before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is it better to choose somebody who's married with children over somebody who's not married without children? Do you know?
Married with children is better. Can anyone tell me why that's true? That the chazan of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur should be somebody who's married with children? It's better to have somebody who's married with children than somebody who's not? What do you say? Exactly right. Excellent. Because someone who's married and has children, when, you know, none of you sitting here have children. But when you do have children, you will understand. It's very, very hard for a child to know. When you do have a child, you'll understand what it means to care for a child, to care for a grandchild, a level of care. So our rabbis felt that someone who has kids, or who has a wife and kids, is going to be so much more invested in the davening than someone who's a single person. Because that relation to the parent and child is so powerful, is so caring, that you just have an extra added amount of
seriousness. An extra added amount of seriousness when you get up to daven. Right. Yes.
It should be mentioned this, but listeners reading that the argument that you don't need as a trained voice is good, but that what you really need is the chazan who is musical enough to carry a tune, but not overly trained so that they become operatic. What you really need is a chazan who can bring people into the singing and not get very like operatic.
Excellent, excellent point. I'm going to get to that in a second. Yeah, Ephraim. Okay, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. There are still certain parts of the davening that the chazan offers up for you. Let's say he leads you in Kaddish, he's going to say the words Yiskadalvi Yiskadash, right? And you just answer Amen. So there are certain parts, but you're right. I assume you're referring to the fact that the silent Shemon Esrei, it used to be that the chazan would be motzi. Everybody would say the whole Shemon Esrei for everybody. You wouldn't say your own private Shemon Esrei. That's a good point. That's a good point. But still, there are certain functions that the chazan does do. Now, I want to talk for a second and relate a little bit to David's point that he just made. David said, he said something very, very important, and that is that it's less important for a chazan to have an operatic and fancy voice, and he said something very, very important, which I believe, I think is very, very important for the chazan.
it's much more important for a chazan to know how to get people into it as opposed to knowing how to sing it himself. Now, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to really describe what that difference is, but you know it when you see it. But certain chazan, again, sometimes if the chazan is just going to blast it out and he's going to sing like very, very loud and blast it out, so people aren't going to really want to sing with him. They're just going to listen to him. That's not really the best way. But a chazan who knows how to softly start a song and then bring people into it with him, that'll be better because it gets people more involved. And to get people more involved is very, very important. And I want to speak about something specific in this regard. And I'm going to give you an example from something that happened here this past Shabbos. An example. Nowadays, it's become fashionable that you sing various songs, let's say, during Kedusha. Right? It's become very fashionable. A chazan who davens on Shabbos, he sings a song in Kedusha. So, I think it's very, very important for a person to think a lot. By the way, before I even get to that, if you're going to be, again, if we ask you to come be a chazan during the week for a shacharis, mincha, maariv, so then I go back to what I started out with. That's very important. Don't just say no. It's important to agree. You can say no on the first time, but if you ask it a second or third time, the halacha says you have to agree. I guess the exception would be if you don't even know how to pronounce the words at all, you don't know any of the two at all, you can say, listen, I would really like to do it, but I promise don't know how to pronounce the words. I don't know any kind of tune at all. So then it's okay to say no, because then you're going to mess everybody up, and no one's going to want to daven with you leading them. But that's in the week. Let's say for Shabbos, right? Someone asks you to daven for Shabbos, and you've been listening, you've been daven in your team, in your shul, you've been listening, and you think you know, generally speaking, but you know the tune, but it's a bother, I'm nervous, I'm standing up there in front of the chazan. So again, I said, you really should be someone who accepts it. Now you finally accept it. So let me tell you what I believe is practically a very, very important rule of being a chazan. And some of you know, I have davened for the young many, 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 many times. And I guess that's where our head is asking to give this thing, because he knows that I know something about davening for the young. I am a chazan, I've been a chazan now for Shana Yom Kippur for, I guess, about 20 years. I've been davening for the young person for 20 years. And I've been davening, I'm a chazan very frequently. In my shul, I daven there very frequently. I want to tell you, I have never, ever, gotten up to daven for the Amud without preparing beforehand. I have never done a daven preparing. Again, it gets me upset, and sometimes I have no choice. If someone asks me 2 seconds before I'm about to go up to daven, you can go daven Shabbos. In my shul, they never do that. Again, it's very, very rare. In my shul, usually the guy will tell me 4 days or 5 days before. It's Monday, Tuesday, we'd like you to daven for the Amud all Shabbos. If someone asks me 5 days before, I'm always going to prepare. Now, I don't anymore, I daven Kabbalah Shabbos very often. I don't have to prepare the words, I don't say the words anymore, because the words I know, I daven them very often, I don't prepare them. But I always prepare, let's see, what tune am I going to choose? And then I go over the tune in my head a few times. Do I know the tune? Do I know how to start it? And I start going over in my head a few times before. And as I'm walking the shul, again, I'm going over in my mind. Or I'll have like my sons on the side and say, okay, which niggun do you think we should use for this? What niggun should I take for this? Does this niggun fit in? Does this niggun really fit in? Sometimes you can get a person, A, he doesn't prepare. He goes up and says, I think I'll think I'll sing a S-I-N-I for, and I'll just like, he hasn't started actually working on preparing the song. And you see people who get up there and they start doing things, they didn't prepare, they don't really know the song. Sometimes if you're not somebody who's very musical, got to sing the song to yourself like 20 times before it and make sure you know the song exactly how it starts, exactly, and you do it. So that's one thing, just preparing. Just in general, every year before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I spend hours and hours and hours going over the davening. Do I know the words? Do I know which tunes I'm going to use where? It requires a lot of preparation. So you should always prepare. Always prepare. And you should ask, if somebody's going to ask you to daven, let's say you're going to go to Yeshiva and you're on Shabbos, and they want you to daven Shabbos that day, so they should hopefully at least ask you, so that you could spend a few moments just looking over what tune am I going to use for Kel Adon, what tune am I going to use for Kedusha, if I'm in a team in the same Kedusha. You got to prepare. That's one. Now, which Nigunim should you select? So here's where, unfortunately, people make another mistake. Sometimes people say, I'll just choose a popular song, you know, that a lot of people know. I'll just choose a popular song. So I believe that that's not appropriate. You shouldn't just choose popular song. You want to choose something that's going to inspire the people to daven better. First of all, your first go-to niggun should be a niggun that has to do with the prayer that you're saying. I want to give you a great example of what I think is a fantastic choice of niggun that happened here this past Shabbos. Let's see if anybody can think of what I'm referring to. Someone who I thought made a great choice, and I want to tell you why I thought that choice was such a great choice. Anybody know what I'm referring to? Yitzvi? Okay, excellent. That happens to be not the one that I was thinking about, but I think that's an excellent, but I think, to me anyway, that's an excellent point. Why do I love Imesh Kachay from Kolka? Imesh Kachay from Kolka is always a great choice. Always a great choice. Why? Because the tune of Imesh Kachay from Mishalat Yishkat Yimini has a lot to do with Kolka Machim and Sophia, the similar Cholemi Kimachachar and Ablachwim. What's that prayer doing? We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send us Mashiach. So the way we're going to get to Mashiach is if we can't always remember Yerushalayim. So there's a connection. So hopefully you got to think that tune is hopefully going to evoke in people a little bit of a connection to Bimkom Kamakir. Yes, Yosef Yehuda. What do I think was also a great choice? Oh, fantastic. So Yitzi Shaman, David Musaf, and we had Rosh Chodesh Benchen. And he decided to choose the tune for Rosh Chodesh Benchen, the tune of Achim. And who can tell me? Why do I think that the choice of Achim was such a great choice for that Rosh Chodesh mentioned here? Rosenzweig, what do you say? Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Because what's that prayer? Yihiratzam lufanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, shetechadesh aleinu asachodesh azeh l'tova l'vracha, v'sitin lanu chayim aruchim. Chaim Shel Shalom. It's a prayer asking for a month of peace, a month of success, a month of Hatzlacha. It's Rosh Chodesh Av. So the fact that so many Jews are right now in Tzara, and the fact that Jews in the south of Israel are in Tzara, the fact that Jews... So this should be on our minds when we're asking for a good month. So what better niggun to choose for benching Rosh Chodesh than Achenu? That's a fantastic thing. That was a great choice. A, because it's a beautiful niggun, and it can get people involved. But B, the words of that niggun, there he is. The words of that niggun, he just walked by. You can tell him, like, oh, it's a great choice. The words of that niggun are such a great choice for benching Rosh Chodesh, because that niggun will help you think more about. All I was thinking about was V'sit in Manu Chaimer. I was thinking about Achinu Kovei Yisrael. It got me thinking about that, so it got me more into the prayer. Any song that's going to get you more into that particular prayer and the thoughts that you're thinking. Now again, sometimes, you know, so, like, I'll give you an example. Very often people ask me to daven for the oven at a simcha. Let's say they're making a, wedding, so it's ufra, a student in our high school. So a student in our high school is having an ufruf because he's going to be getting married that week. So they asked me to daven at the ufruf. Now when they ask me to daven at the ufruf, sometimes I will use nigunim in the davening that have to do with a wedding. Because they ask me to daven. Or let's say sometimes somebody's making a bar mitzvah. So they ask me to daven for the umud for the bar mitzvah. So I might use a nigun that has to do with bar mitzvah. Like v'zakeinu legadel banim u'bnei banim, v'zakeini legadel banim u'bnei banim has to do the bar mitzvah. So someone might ask me, and sometimes before I do this, I ask myself, is that really right? Is that really right to use a niggun from a chasna? Or let's say for Sim Shalom, I might use sim tov u'mazel tov u'mazel tov u'sim. If I use it, I might say Sim Shalom Tov, to get the people to sing. Now you might ask, that's not really right, because what's my goal? My goal is that they should be thinking about what the words are, Sim Shalom Tova Bracha, or they should be thinking about the words Mekom Kamakin and Sophia. They should be thinking about Mashiach coming, not about the Simcha. So why am I using a tune from a Simcha for Mimkomcha, or for L'chagodi? Is that a fair question? Everybody hear the question? Anybody hear the question? So my answer to that is this. My answer is that when you come to shul Friday night to daven Kabbalah Shabbos, and it's an Ufruf Shabbos, and they ask you to daven the Ufruf, part of what's on everyone's mind is the Ufruf. The Ufruf is on everybody's mind. When you go to shul on a Shabbos morning, there's a bar mitzvah in shul. So part of what's on everyone's mind is our reverences. So when you say the words the Kadesh Shemcha Olam on that morning, let's sanctify Hashem's name, Kishem Shema Kishem Oso Bishmim Rom, HaKasola Yad Neviecha, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So part of your praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that day is thank you, Rabban Shalom, for bringing this child to the Bar Mitzvah. That's on everybody's mind that day. So I think it's legit to, in the tunes that you're using, to mention the Bar Mitzvah, because that's on everybody's mind, and everyone's going to use that Bar Mitzvah or use that Ofruf to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But just stop to choose a nigga that happens to be, have no connection to the prayer, and no connection to the Simcha, and no connection to that, it just doesn't happen to be a nice song. Okay, maybe one could argue it's a nice song that has a nice melody to it, maybe it'll get everybody into it. As long as your cheshbon is that it's going to get people to daven better, it's going to get people to join in more, it's going to get people to have more kavanah in the daven. That's the chazan's job. How do I get people to have more kavanah in daven? How do I daven in a way? And someone said before, that means the chazan has to daven with more kavanah than anybody else in the shul. The chazan has to daven with more to get everybody else into it. The chazan has to try to choose a niggun that will get people into it more. The chazan has to be humble and not be arrogant and try to show off to people, because that nobody likes a show off. So people aren't, it's not going to be people that better. Yes. Moshe. Is it Moshe? Moshe with a K. Moshe with a K. Kaplan. Kaplan.
Grandson of my good friend Sam Vogel. Okay. Moshe Kaplan.
So you're saying that on Shabbos Hanukkah, right? So, to use the tune of Al-Anisim in Shul would be acceptable.
Right. I feel that's very legit, because I think that everyone is, when you're davening that Shabbos, you're thinking about Chanukah. It's Chanukah time. So, your praise is going to be, your praise of Hashem that Shabbos is going to be laced with themes of Chanukah. So, I think it's very, very, that's a great point. That's a great illustration. I think it's very, very legit and appropriate to use Chanukah, Nigunim on Chanukah. But to use Pesach Nigunim on Chanukah doesn't make any sense, because I just happen to like that song. But what is that doing? How's it going to get people to daven better? It's going to get them to think about Pesach and Chanukah. We don't want them to do that. Yes, Dave.
Then what about, I guess, more interesting, what I've seen in some shows, say for Yom HaAtzmaut, I've seen a tendency to throw everything that takes them. Like when I saw it, wherever I thought it was, to me, I mean, it's complicated when you're taking songs and you're a little bit of politics. But the one I saw was very good, was the Shabbat right before someone took the Yerushalayim shells that have,
that's a very fair question. Let's try to address that for a second. Let's try to address that question for a second. The question here was, is it appropriate, let's say, the Shabbos before Yom HaAtzmaut, or the Shabbos, something like that, to use the song Yerushalayim Shel Zahav in the davening? I come back to my first point, which is Merutza Makom. You have to know your congregation. I will tell you that if I would get up in my particular shul on Shabbos before Yom HaAtzmaut and sing Yerushalayim Shel Zahav to Kedusha, they might not let me come back the next Shabbos to daven for the Yom. Why not? What's the matter? Yerushalayim Shel Zahav is a beautiful song. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the song Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Okay, you heard it. Good. Okay. It's a beautiful song. So why not use it in the future? So the reason why some people have a little bit of a problem, anybody know why somebody might have a problem with the song Yerushalayim Shel Zahav using it in the davening? Why so? Yeah?
It's not the song, it's the holiday. It's not, really, it's not the Jewish holiday. It's the first state.
Okay, I didn't mean to get into the politics about Yom HaTzimut. I didn't mean to get into those politics. It is true that there's some Jews who don't believe in observing Yom HaTzimut at all. I wasn't even talking about that. Although the truth is, you're right, in my shul, in the shul that I have to daven in, so Yom HaTzimut is not really celebrated. But I personally do celebrate Yom HaTzimut. So in the yeshiva we do, in the shul I have to daven in, I wasn't even talking about that though. Let's say I'm talking about even a shul that does celebrate Yom HaTzimut, might have a problem with using Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Anybody know why? Svi. Correct. Right. That's why it's sung by a woman. First of all, it's sung by a woman. That's one issue. And I'm pretty sure you're right that the woman is not observant. So because of that, although I would say that the woman probably is religious, she may not be observant, but she is religious. So I'm going to respond. So that also brings, that's also a fair issue. I think that's a fair issue that we should raise here. It's a very good issue to raise over here about, you see, this gets into a whole question about the history of music, because, I remember, I'll give you the following example. One time in DRS on Simchas Torah, we got a minyan on Simchas Torah. Now, sometimes it bothers me very much. How many people here daven in a shul where the chazan on Simchas Torah gets involved in a certain amount of what we'll call leitzanus? Leitzanus means there's a certain amount of like joking around going on in the davening on Simchas Torah. Anybody daven in a shul where there's joking around on Simchas Torah?
Not
joking around? Okay. So that annoys me very much. I think that's very, very important. Or Purim, let's say. So sometimes you daven in a shul on Purim, they start making a joke out of davening. Anybody daven in a shul where on Purim they make a joke out of the davening? I'm happy to hear that. Okay. The same place that Simchas Torah is on Purim is also a joke. Okay. I'm very against that. And one time we had a minyan in Yeshiva Simchas Torah, and the guy who was davening for the Yomah came from one of those shuls that they make a joke out of the davening Simchas Torah. So he got up for Kedusha, and it was Simchas Torah morning, so he thought the minyan was appropriate to somebody, so he got up and started singing, Nikadesh et Shimcha ba'olam, Nishem Shemati Shimoso, Bishmei Marok. I'm telling you, that actually happened in the yeshiva. Okay, he started singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game for Kedusha. Anybody know how I reacted to that? I didn't do anything, but I was very, very upset by it. I was very upset by it. And I was upset by it because I think that all that causes people to do is laugh. It's funny that he's using a Take Me Out to the Ball Game tune for davening. It's not going to get people to daven better. Again, that's the whole... Now, again, maybe if you do the Marutza Lakal test there, maybe that was very Marutza Lakal because everybody was really happy and thought it was hilariously funny that he was singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game for Kedusha. That was very, very funny. So maybe he was Marutza Lakal in one sense, but it wasn't really Marutza Lakal in the way that what it's supposed to be Marutza Lakal, and that is that to try to get the Tzibur to daven better. That's not going to get the Tzibur to daven better. It's actually going to distract our attention from the words. I mean, how could you sing Nikadesh es Shimcha Ba'olam, let us sanctify your name in this world, to the tune of Take Me Out to the Ball Game? I mean, I know here on NCSY Cole, we really think every Dvar Torah has to have a sports marshal in and all that stuff. I get that, but you know, I don't see how singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game is going to get a person to daven better. And therefore, I would be against that. Second. So, I believe it is very important to choose a niggun that's going to inspire. Now, the other thing about preparing, if you prepare a niggun, it's very important that you, when you daven for the Amud, you make sure to figure out how you want to fit the words that you are saying into the niggun that you want to choose. A lot of people don't think that issue through, and they end up like in the middle, or you end up like ending a song off in the middle, and then there's this awkward silence as the shul wonders what they should be doing for the rest of the niggun when you actually ended up ending the niggun before it. So it requires a lot of preparation. A lot of preparation to think. And you got to do it a few times. And I'm telling you, I do this every single time I daven. Let's say, I want to use a certain niggun. Maybe we'll give some practical examples here, okay? Someone give me an example of a niggun that you like to use, Well, let's start like this. How many people in their lifetime, including their bar mitzvah, how many people in their lifetime have at least one time davened on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, Shacharis or Musaf or something for the oven? Raise your hand if you've at one time in your lifetime davened for the oven. Okay, that's a pretty significant majority. Okay, of you guys. So I'm hoping that there will be some minyan in the world, and I think this is very, very important. I'm hoping there would be some minyan in the world that all of you guys would agree to daven in again. I hope you would agree to daven again. It wasn't just one time you bar mitzvah, you never daven again. I'm hoping that you'd agree. If you guys came to Ensei Kol, you guys are the future chazanim of Klal Yisrael. Hopefully you'll agree to daven. So give me an example of a song, let's say we're talking about to use for your shul or your team, wherever you daven, or you're going to daven on the Kol of the Shabbos. So you're going to agree to use a particular niggun in Kedusha. Let's say for Mimkolka. Give me an example of a niggun that you would like. Maybe a little, I'm not talking about the classic, more popular niggunim that people use. Give me an example of a niggun that you might want to use for Mimkolka. Give me an example of a tune that you might want to use. Yes, Moshe.
I'm called the little bird is mine or something.
So you mean this niggun?
Little bird is down, that nigga. Diddy da 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 da
da
da da da da da da da da da da da right? That one. Oh. So
let's take a sitter and let's see how it's gonna fit in.
Is this going to fit? So Moshe claims this fits in. Moshe claims. Raise your hand if you know that song. Very few people know it. Okay. The five people who know it, I'm going to ask you to sing it with me. Okay? Let's see if it fits in. How would we fit it in? So I would urge you, Moshe, if you want to daven for the oven, I see that you do have a good voice, and you're one of the people most involved in it. I would urge you to agree to be a chazan. But I would urge you that before you agree to be a chazan Shabbos morning and you want to use that niggun, I would urge you to prepare. Because if I would do it, that happens to be a beautiful niggun. Now again, what does the little bird is calling have to do with Mashiach? It actually has a lot to do with Mashiach. That song actually does have a lot to do. I don't know if everybody knows the words to that song. But it has a lot to do with the Jewish people being redeemed and finally coming to our final conclusion. So you have to sit with the sitter before it. You have to say, okay, now how am I going to sing that song? Oh, Malkeinu, Sophia. See, we have a problem here, right? See, Malkeinu, Kimechakim Anachnu Lo. Here's a classic example of why you have to prepare before you do this. Masaitim Loch Bitziyam. Bikaro v'yameinu v'yolam v'wetishno. Now what are you doing? I do it again. Ah, so now this is it's going to be very hard to do. Tiskadal, this is kadal. So Yerushalayim, so Yerushalayim ircha. Oh my gosh, I gotta go a third time. So the shul might be tired of singing it three times. This is a classic example, so maybe you might want to do better. Maybe do it, yeah, so it's complicated, not so partial.
So that's where Bar thought. So maybe, let's see if we could fit that megan in. Let's see, can we use it? Or maybe it's not a good megan to use this. Maybe, because I think that people won't want to sing it more than two times. I think more than two times you. So maybe you'll have to do it like this. Oka Malkeinu Sophia Visim Loka Leinu. I don't know. Let's think about it. So tell me how you do it.
Oh,
good. Okay. Then you have to add an IUW and she has to tell them. Okay, people do that sometimes. But that's a classic example of how you got to think it through. Whether it's, I agree with you. I wouldn't do it more than two times. So you have to think it through. I think that's what you would do. It's, don't sing it more than two times through. Two times through, people have patience for it. More than two times through, they're not. That was a perfect example of why you have to sit and work it out before. How's it going to fit in? How many times am I going to go through it? And then where am I going to end? Where am I going to stop? And by the way, in my Machzor Shani Kippur, I have like commas written into the Machzor. This is where the first part of the tone is going to end. Like in that case. Oh, Malkeinu, Sophia. There'll be a comma there. This is him, Lom, Aleinu. Hima Chakim, Anachnu, Lom, comma. Masai, Tin, Lom, Kvitsi, Masai, Masai, like you said, Tin, Lom, Kvitsi, Yom, comma. Hikaro, Viyah, Meinu, Lom, Boy, Tishko, period. This, Kadal, this is Kadal. No, that's not, give it to me again. This is Kadash, so few shall I hear from. The dog, when they touch it, suck him. They know, Sir, and I'm not the Sakha. Hadav are all more, but she ready with that. Even that was a little hard. So, that's a classic example. Does someone want to give me a. Okay. I think that was a very important example to illustrate that you got to work it out. Where is it going to start? Where is it going to stop? Which words are going to say when? Do the words even fit in, Michlal? Am I going to have to like throw the words in there? My father likes to say in Yiddish, to einsetz the verte. Sometimes the words don't fit in the right way. You can't use a song that the words don't fit in the right way. Yes, that's right. So that song is a fantastic song to use for Mikolka because it was written for Mikolka. And it's a beautiful song. So there you get everything all in the same thing. That's a fantastic song to use. Now, in my neighborhood, the reason why people sometimes don't use that is because it's been so overused for that people are sick of it. But see, again, that depends on the roots of the call. It depends, you gotta know which shul you're down in. Do they know the song? Are you gonna end up, sometimes the guy says, I came back from NC Swaikolo, I learned this great new niggun. I'm going to come into my shul and I'm going to sing this great new song. I'm going to sing Anovim, which has to do with Mashiach. Anovim is a great song for Mimkomcha. It's a great song for Mimkomcha. But if no one in your shul knows it, you're going to be singing solo the whole thing. That's not going to be a very inspiring song for you. I go back to what I said the first time. Merutza Lakal. You gotta be Merutza Lakal. You gotta know what is my tzibur want. So in your shul, that Mimkomcha song might be awesome. I think that Mimkomcha thing is awesome because it was written for that Mimkomcha. It fits right into the words because it was written for those words. Okay, you just have to know whether to do the first part twice originally or not. Like, let's give an example there. Mimkomcha Malkeinu Sophia. So right away you gotta go to the high part.
Masaitim Lach. That was written for that. Again, if you would be singing it not that way, you might do the first part twice first. But when you're singing in Kedusha, you can't do the first part twice because you got to go to Masaitim, because that's a big part of that. That's a perfect example. That's a great Megan fusion couplet. Yes,
so
though.
When I've seen this two things, one, I was in Beth Jacob and Pete go in the Kazan youth, but Pete was a new chick, but what he did was he prefaced it with like 15 seconds of just the good.
Wow, that's, I often do that often. That's a great point.
The one that I've seen, it was a really good one, at least I thought, was Bishem Hashem.
For Mukoka?
No, for like, it works for like all the way from Bishem to the
one. Okay, well, we'll get to that. Let me deal with your 2 points, but I think both ones are very good points. I've done that sometimes, but it's risky. Well, that idea is a little risky. You can do it, I'll tell you the idea, okay? I do it in my shul because my shul loves to sing. In my shul, if davening took 4 hours, they'd be fine with it. Okay, that's another thing. By the way, I'll come back to Ruby's. Ruby said that. Very, very important point that Ruby made at the beginning. I asked, what's the most important thing about being a chazan? Ruby said, speed. Now, Ruby didn't mean when he said speed, he didn't mean that you have to go fast. He meant, you have to know, in your shul, what are people going to be willing to sit through? How long do people like davening to be? And then it gets hairy sometimes, because some people like a longer davening, and some people like a shorter davening. So what should you do? You know what you should do? Right in the middle. If there's half your shul likes a 3-hour davening, and half your shul likes a 2-hour davening, you should probably daven around 2.5 hours. That way no one's happy. The 3-hour people aren't happy, the 2-hour people aren't happy. Well, then maybe you have to have 2 shuls. That's the way Jews get out of the problem, unfortunately. So Ruby talked about speed. But speed is very, very important. I'm going to end with this. Speed is very important. But so my shul, the shul I'm down there, they love to sing. They would love to sing, so I can get away with this. So every summer I come back from Kol, usually I bring back to my shul a new song, a new niggun. They look forward to it for me. They say, what's Kamenetsky going to sing? What new song is he going to teach us? They want it. But what am I going to do? They don't know it. So they're not going to sing with me. So what do I do? So what I did this last summer. Last summer, first Shabbos back after Shabbos. So Kola, we had a new niggun. The new niggun was the Chabatska niggun. 999999999. We taught it last summer. It was the first summer we saw it. So I was going to use it for Kel Adon. But I knew my shul didn't know it. So what did I do? I did exactly what David Sellis just suggested. This is very risky, but in my shul it works. What I did is I first sang the song through once, without singing any words, to teach the tzibur the song. So I did it. First, when I got it for Kel Adon, I said, Ein bil Ein ker kagolim nimos ha-mashiach ve'ein domo l'chom o'shem v'shkiyas ha-meis. So first, like Kel Adon, so I started. Ay lay lay, ay lay lay, ya da 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 da, yam ba da da, bam bam bam. So I taught them while I did it slowly. I taught it. It's risky, but I'm a chazan that they all trust me. They trust that I've been down in there for a few years. They trusted me. They knew what I was doing. And then they all joined in. So they learned the niggun, and that's the way we taught them in the niggun. But that's a very risky approach. It's got to be 1 second. It's a risky approach. It's got to be. I'm saying that people agree with. And B'Shem Hashem, yeah, that could be a good niggun. It's about Malachim. The question is what that's good, but it's a good question. Yekaz. Last point. But I'm going to end here. You could ask me lots of questions afterwards. Is there another session here? Anybody have the... Hang on. Kaz's last question, and then I'm going to try to... 12 o'clock. Human angel on the court. Mark Palayoff is going to be speaking about in 5 minutes, on how to be a Ben Torah when you're playing ball. And Rabbi Cohen's going to speak about utilizing a Rebbe, practical techniques for addressing Emunah questions to your Rebbe. Last questions. That is a great question. Let's end with this. That's a perfect question. Great question. Kazmitz asked like this. Let's say you have a shul. and there's a guy who really likes davening for the Amud, but he has a bad voice. No one in the community likes him davening for the Amud. He loves to do it. He thinks he's great. The tzibur thinks he's terrible. What's better to do? Let the guy daven, not hurt him or embarrass his feelings, and let him daven because he likes it, he thinks he's great? Or someone should bite the bullet and tell him that he's not good? How many people have ever experienced this in a shul? Okay, a lot of people. How many people think what the shul should do is let the guy daven and not embarrass him? About 8 people. How many people think that the tzibur should get together and the rabbi or the gabbai has to break the news to him that people don't like the way he davens? Well, gentlemen, what did I start off with the first word that I said? What's the number one criteria of a chazan has to be? What's the number one criteria? He has to be what? Merutze lakahal. It means he has to be wanted by the tzibur. The job of a chazan is not for the chazan. The job of chazan is for the tzibur. He's supposed to inspire the tzibur. If he's not inspired with the tzibur, he shouldn't be a chazan. Someone who inspires the tzibur to daven better, that's a person. By the way, these are things you can learn. You can be better. Okay, I'm going over time. And thank you very much for paying attention and listening. I hope you got something out of it. In 5 minutes, Rabbi Cohen's going to speak about how to ask the Buddha questions. You ready? Palayev's going to speak about how to be a Ben Torah.
Looks like a dive.
Rabbi, there was a book I've been somewhere.
Whose phone is this? How long